This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It was one of the last grand movie palaces built in America. The Alameda Theater was a beloved hub of San Antonio's Spanish-language performing arts community. Its heyday was in the 1950s to the 1970s, and in the decades since, the building sat empty. After multiple efforts to restore the Alameda, things are now different. Alongside the redevelopment of the San Pedro Creek, the Alameda is preparing to receive audiences once again. As part of the city and Bexar County's collaboration to restore the area, Texas Public Radio will be relocating its headquarters to the back stage house building adjacent to the historic theater. So how is this restoration project funded and organized? What changes can the public expect in the near future to that location? What attractions will be coming to the Alameda? And how will the Alameda impact Texas Public Radio? You can call in with your questions and comments. We want to hear your story. If you have memories of going to the Alameda, call in 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this afternoon with Lori Houston. She's Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio, Vincent Michael, Executive Director of the San Antonio Conservation Society. Pete Cortez is the Chief Operating Officer for La Familia Cortez. Tony Canales is the San Pedro Creek Community Project Coordinator for Bexar County. And Joyce Slocum, she's the President and CEO of Texas Public Radio. And again, the number to call is 210-614-8980. Vincent Michael, with the San Antonio Conservation Society, can you tell us about the historic significance and what's about the Alameda Theater?
Well, I think what you said, it was really unique in the country. It's one of the last to open in 1949, and it really was unique in San Antonio, too. It was the first desegregated theater. Anyone could come in, so it really became a center for Mexican-American culture. You would have not only films, but you'd have appearances by film stars like Cantinflas, and you'd have people like Vicente Fernandez, Pedro Infante, and Maria Felix, who would come to the theater. And the interior had all that wonderful decoration that you expect of the great vaudeville movie palaces, but brought a few decades forward. So they had these marvelous black light paintings in phosphorescent paint by Pedro Terán that were the history of Texas and the history of Mexico. So it was really a spectacular place, and it became, I think, what a lot of people say is that it became, you know, sort of a cultural event. You would take the family to church, and then you'd go to the Alameda, you know, to see this incredible array of not just films, but also performances.
So in the seating area, you had one side of the wall was the history of Mexico, a very ornate black light painting, and then on the history of Texas on the other side, and the people in the middle were bringing it all together.
Exactly.
So Pete Cortez with the La Familia Cortez, can you talk about your role in this and the significance of that?
Sure. Thank you for having us. First of all, I'm in my early 50s, so I was very young when the theater was closing, so I don't have a lot of personal memories of it myself. I do recall going and seeing some movies probably in my early teens. But I know that members of my family have talked about this for many, many, many years, and the family has been working for probably 30-plus years in helping to try to restore this theater. I think what Michael said is absolutely right. I mean, this is a very important community asset. It's a cultural asset that's been part of this community for many years. I think people probably forget that this neighborhood, this isn't the only theater that we had in the neighborhood at that time. The Zaragoza Theater was also there. We used to have the Texas Theater. Obviously, the Aztec is still there in the Majestic. But this is a theater that really brought the whole community together. And so we're just really excited to see that it's coming back.
But it was a show place. I mean, it was top of the line. This is in post-World War II America, where Mexican-Americans in San Antonio were experiencing a prosperity they never had before. And there was this connectivity with the golden era of Mexico's films they were putting out with Maria Felix and Pedro Infante and Cantinflas and others. They were producing world-class art in Mexico, and they needed a show place here in San Antonio that was worthy of that.
Right. In Spanish, it was known as the Época de Oro, like the golden age of Mexican cinema. And it was wonderful, you know, to have all of those wonderful movie stars coming to San Antonio and sort of be part of the shows. And so I can tell you that my personal experience, having worked in the theater, is trying to help raise money for it over many, many years. I didn't really understand probably really the historical nature of the theater. I didn't really understand the logistics of the stage and the green rooms and the areas that were going to be important going forward to make this a more contemporary theater in this 21st century. I think that's been one of the interesting challenges as a group that we've been going through, to understand how will this theater speak to the community now in the age that we live in now.
Tony Canez with Bexar County, and you're working on the San Pedro Creek project. The creek also has historic value, and it means so much. There's coded language in being on the banks of the San Pedro Creek. Can you talk about that?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, the county's efforts to revitalize the creek have been bring the history of the creek back to the community. It has for a long time been kind of blighted and unsightly, and now that we've been able to complete the initial phase of San Pedro Creek Culture Park, we're going to continue with this next segment that is adjacent to the Alameda Theater, and we're very excited that the redevelopment of the theater will dovetail with what we're doing and with the city.
At that location on the creek, it's going to be like a special theater or an open air theater?
Well, the area that we're developing right next to the Alameda Theater will be a plaza, outdoor plaza that it will be public and available for a recreation and respite. The idea is that it could be configured to hold a small performance or do other types of events there, with the idea that it could be utilized by the theater and by TPR and also the River Authority, who manages and operates the park, would be able to hold events there as well. So it's going to be very flexible and I think a very popular area for that area.
Laurie Houston, the city of San Antonio owns the Alameda Theater. As a assistant city manager for the city of San Antonio, can you talk about why this is important to the city of San Antonio to have this redevelopment?
Well, the theater's been vacant for several years now. The city purchased it in 1995, and really this is a great example of a strong partnership and how the stars aligned. We had the San Pedro Creek under construction. We had TPR, who's looking for a new home. We had the recently designated Zona Cultural Area, and we had a vacant building that really had a great opportunity to activate an area of Houston Street that was being surrounded by other economic development projects, like the new Frost Tower that's currently under construction. So the city and the county each contributed $10 million to this project. And one of the most important things I think about this project is that the board, the Alameda Theater Conservancy, recognized that the most important thing is to make sure we do not dilute the cultural significance when working on this project and doing the programming. And so you'll see when the theater opens, it's going to be dedicated to the Latina arts, and we're going to have a wonderful media partner with TPR, and there's going to be strong synergy with the Zona Cultural. So this was a great great project resulting from a strong partnership, and the timing was perfect.
We'll hear more about Texas Public Radio's role moving forward after this break. If you've got a question or a comment, call in 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about the Alameda Theater, reviving the Alameda. Stay tuned. Coming attractions to the Alameda, 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Alameda, the downtown historic theater, which will be Texas Public Radio's home in the future. We're moving into the back house of the Alameda, and we're talking about the entirety of its history, the cultural significance of the Alameda, and all bringing the stage back as well, with the type of performances that could be coming to that. That's up to you. That's up to the public. What do you want to see? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. With me in the studio is Joyce Slocum, the president and CEO of Texas Public Radio. And Joyce, When did this start happening, that we were going to, that Texas Public Radio was going to find a home finally at the Alameda?
Oh, I think these conversations started about 4.5 years ago. It's been a long conversation, but an important one to do very carefully, because we do have really two separate structures here, one being the historic Alameda Theater, which obviously we want to make sure is preserved and operated and honors the culture and the history of that structure. And then there's this very non-historic structure that was built back behind, I think it was finished in 2015, that was intended to be a stage house, but has actually never been used. So Texas Public Radio looked at the opportunities, and we said, you know, we're not in the theater business, don't want to run the theater, but if we're going to move into the stage house, we need to know that the theater is going to be refurbished, revitalized, and reopened. And so this wonderful, as Lori said, partnership has come together between the city, the county, the Alameda Theater Conservancy, and Texas Public Radio. So we'll be in that backstage house. We'll be building 4 floors into that. The top 3 floors will be office space. The bottom floor will be a lobby, and we'll house a studio that's windowed onto the San Pedro Creek, and the pocket park that's going to be there off of Commerce Street. And we will also have a black box theater that will seat about 220 people. And plan is for us to partner with the Theater Conservancy. So if they are bringing performance or film or something in that doesn't need the number of seats that the historic theater will have, then we'll make the black box available for use, and vice versa. We'll occasionally be going to the Theater Conservancy when we have one of our larger programs to see if we can trade space with them. So it's worked out to be, I think, a really wonderful relationship. And I say, I'm particularly pleased that, in the past, some people viewed the San Pedro Creek as sort of the dividing line between our community. And I think this gives us the opportunity to make it really a place where our community comes together.
Well, historically, the San Pedro Creek was a dividing line for San Antonio. That was where the west side began. And that was the Spanish-speaking part of San Antonio was on that side of the west side of San Pedro Creek. And then the German side or the Anglo side was on, English-speaking side was on the other. Fortunately, we don't follow that anymore, but that is part of the culture of the city. Let's go to our phone lines, 210-614-8980, and Yolanda is called in. Hi, Yolanda. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I would like to make comments about the Alameda. I used to go there when I was a little girl with my father. It was a beautiful, beautiful Art Deco interior. And I loved especially that staircase that went up and down with this beautiful neon whatever lights in the middle. It was there. My father worked in the building. There was a Mr. Torres in charge. I don't know because I was very young, but they used to bring movie stars like Tintan, Cesar Costa. They used to have mariachis, you know, from Tecalitlan, all these beautiful things. And by what my father used to be a disc jockey in the radio station that's in that building, which used to be KIWW before KCOR, if I'm not mistaken. And the way we understood was the Alameda was top of the line. Then the second one was the Nacional. Then the third was the Guadalupe Theater.
Yolanda, thank you so much for calling in. We'd love hearing your memories. And other listeners, if you want to call in and tell us your memories of the Alameda, the number is 210-614-8980. Vincent Michael with the San Antonio Conservation Society. Yolanda mentioned the Art Deco interior.
Yeah, so you could call it Art Deco or Art Moderne. It is that sort of streamlined style. And, of course, the most obvious feature on the exterior is that wonderful 86-foot-high blade sign that says Alameda on it. But the interior, yeah, the swirling staircase with the glass walls. And, of course, the painting just reinforces that streamlined look. So at the time, it would have just struck everyone as really modern and really cutting edge and dynamic.
And the city bought the Alameda in what was 1995 when Nelson Wolf was mayor of the city. There was plans that someone wanted to buy that block, and they were going to knock it down and put in medical offices and stuff there, and the city stepped in and bought it. And at the time, it seemed as kind of a bold move, but how has that worked out, Lori Houston?
We just really wanted to make sure that we are protecting this cultural asset that we have within the community. And one of the wonderful things about this project, I think we've all enjoyed this, is going to our recording sessions where we are capturing the stories of citizens like Yolanda who've come to San Antonio, who've been to the Alameda as a child, and they have these wonderful stories to share about how they experienced the Alameda. We've even mapped out where they went before, where they went after, so we can really make sure that we're incorporating that into the redevelopment of the theater, and we're capturing that feeling. And that feeling is of inclusiveness, that feeling of being excited when you go and you see the dark murals within the theater, and making it top of the line. And those are all things that we've heard throughout these recordings and story mapping, and want to make sure that it's emulated within the design.
So Joyce Locum, President and CEO of Texas Public Radio, we've heard from Yolanda about the legacy of radio broadcasting from the Alameda. We're not going to be in that space. And it's also interesting that was, I think, the first Spanish language radio station in America was at that location.
Yes.
How do you think that, of course, Texas Public Radio is not going to switch formats to become Spanish-speaking, but how do you think this being culturally sensitive to the location, how do you think that's going to impact us?
Well, I think that we will probably continue to put focus on those cultural aspects of our community. But one of the things I love about us being situated close by there is that when performers are brought in, when artists are there, when we have dancers there, it will be very easy for us to pull them into our studios and let them be on air and talk about what's happening there. It'll be super easy for us to be, you know, in touch with the Conservancy and helping to publicize the events that are happening there, and really just be, you know, part of our community with a visible presence that can help support, you know, not only what we're doing at Texas Public Radio, but what's happening at the Conservancy. It's just it'll be a really wonderful partnership. And I do love the fact that, you know, there's kind of a full circle there for Texas Public Radio to revive the radio presence, you know, not in that same space in the complex, but very close by.
And you think Texas Public Radio will have a role in amplifying all the things that are happening downtown?
Oh, certainly. That would obviously be one of our intents. You know, we have been in the same space for 30 years here on Data Point on the 8th floor of what's otherwise a medical office tower, and we really don't have much visibility to our community. So to be downtown, to have a space that's clearly identified as TPR space, and to help activate this and animate the space, and, you know, we mentioned helping to curate events in that performance plaza outside. You know, we'll be broadcasting some of our music and programming where people walking around will be able to hear what's going on. And I just think it's going to be a really interesting part of downtown going forward.
So, but Lori Houston, there have been other efforts over the years, lots of efforts. We're going to revitalize Alameda, and you have a press conference, and you talk about all the great things you're going to be doing, and then it just sort of runs out of gas really quickly. It seemed like what was lacking always is having a pulse in the building at all times. Do you think having Texas Public Radio there on site is a difference maker?
Absolutely. I think having a tenant that is there and activating that space 24/7 is definitely a plus. I also think that the San Pedro Creek is a game changer for this facility. Mm-hmm. Before the creek, there wasn't really much going on in that area. Now that we have the creek, it's complete, there's going to be some interaction with the building. That's really made it a possibility for TPR to see their vision, where they can see this being a community gathering place. So, as I mentioned, it's a partnership, and just the ingredients really came together to make this work.
And Pete Cortez from La Familia Cortez?
Yes, well, you know, you mentioned the various efforts that have taken place. And to add a little color to this, I mean, the city really deserves a lot of credit, as does the county, because, you know, the way this really came about was there was a gentleman, I believe he was from Florida, who actually owned the theater at one point and wanted to demolish it and create a new office building. My dad actually wanted to buy the theater at one point just to save it for the community. We didn't necessarily have the wherewithal to buy it or the opportunity, you know, the ability to run it, but it was, he just felt it was that important. And so we had been previously working on Milam Park, which is just a block down from the Alameda Theater, and had raised a lot of money privately to help restore that park. And so the city thought it would be a good idea to create a new organization at the time, Centro Alameda, to begin raising the money. But when you start to look at this, and this building had been dark for so many years, and it needed so much renovation to be able to operate in this more digital environment that we all live in now, that it was going to require millions and millions of dollars to raise that money. And that's what really made it difficult. And so with the city and the county's efforts to bring a lot of those resources to the table, along with Texas Public Radio, to gain those synergies now with San Pedro Creek and Frost Tower, and, you know, even the bond projects are going to be taking place around this neighborhood along Commerce Street. You know, all of these stars have aligned at the right time to make this a great project.
And Vincent Michael with the San Antonio Conservation Society, I'm sure you've seen lots of projects. People have great ideas, and money is always an issue. And then it's like, what are you going to do with the building once you finally have it all ready to go? It's, you got to have, these buildings have got to be occupied, and people have got to do something with them in order to make this thing work.
Absolutely. And I think this project looks like it's going to work. And it's because you have all these partners, the city and the county, obviously. Having the radio station there as the 24/7 tenant, as Lori says, is key. And you have to understand these buildings historically, even the Aztec and the Empire, they all had to have office buildings around them or something to keep it going. So there were always different uses you needed to activate the space. A theater really was never a standalone. It had, and so it's a recreation not only of what was originally there in 1949, but it brings it forward. And I think the amenities you have around it with Frost Tower and San Pedro Creek is just going to add to that.
And Tony Canez with Bexar County working on the San Pedro Creek project. And was there always the thought that the Alameda was going to be revitalized and be part of the creek?
Well, I think way back when the commissioner's court was contemplating the revitalization of the creek, I think the Alameda Theater always stood out as being kind of the centerpiece of the redevelopment, because it is such an iconic part of our history, and right there on the creek. A lot of the design detail that you see along the creek is harks back to that type of style. And certainly the county has led with the stage house construction. That was a county-funded portion of the building that was in a previous attempt to revitalize the Alameda. We built that structure, and so we're very excited that Texas Public Radio has seen an opportunity to habitate in there and give us the ability to revitalize the theater and have a tenant. That seems like a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, so you look at the San Pedro Creek, what's been done so far that I've been able to see, there's a lot of wavy lines along the way. And I now that you mention it, yeah, it does seem to be reflecting the architecture and the art deco of the Alameda. It all blends together. And so I do want to mention that the San Antonio River Authority is inviting the public to visit the San Pedro Creek Cultural Park today for a free cultural holiday celebration. They're going to have a conjunto Puro Corazon there. They're going to have tamales, all sorts of celebration today. That's going to be at 5:30 to 7:30. You can go to the San Pedro Creek Cultural Park at 715 Camarón and enjoy yourself for that. And getting, if you haven't had a chance to see what's happening with the San Pedro Creek, today would be a great day to do it. We got great weather for it. If you got questions or comments about the Alameda Theater and what you want to see there in the future, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Maybe you've seen the Alameda Theater downtown year after year, and you wondered, what's going to happen to that beautiful old theater? What's finally going to move in there and bring that theater back to life. Well, Texas Public Radio is moving into the back part of the theater, not into the historic area, but into the newly constructed back house of the theater. And also there is a theater conservancy that is going to be operating the theater, looking for ways to bring performing arts and other type of performers to the theater and bring life back to the Alameda. This is all part of the San Pedro Creek development. And this is something that many people are hoping will revitalize a part of downtown that hasn't been as exciting as other parts of downtown. Well, what do you want to see at the Alameda? Give us a call, 210-614-8980. And Alejandro is on the line. Alejandro, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I think this is a really exciting partnership that you guys got going on. I've been a filmmaker in San Antonio for over 20 years. I remember one time going to the Alameda, I think 15 years ago, for a film festival. So it really motivated me to sort of stay in the business and continue making films. So I did hear film dropped once or twice. I'm curious what those film plans are. And also, you know, if this could be a community thing where, you know, filmmakers could utilize the space or something like that. Maybe even an artist in residence. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Great call, Alejandro. Thank you for calling in with your ideas. Anyone else want to call in? 210-614-8980. What do you want to see at the Alameda? So Joyce Slocum, president and CEO of Texas Public Radio, and you're also a part of the guiding force for the Alameda Theater Conservancy. What about bringing films back?
Well, I think that's certainly part of the plan. You know, it's early days.
We show movies all the time. We're our Cinema Tuesday stuff.
Sure, but you know, the theater has not yet been restored, but it will be. It'll probably be a couple of years before that happens. Texas Public Radio has a much simpler construction project in that backstage. It's, you know, office space with a smaller black box theater. But, you know, one of the things we've talked about is with the different spaces that will be available, you know, it would be great to have, you know, for example, a film festival. And maybe you have some films that are going to draw large crowds into the Alameda Theater. But maybe you also have some culturally, artistically important films that are going to be attracting a smaller crowd. So, okay, we have the black box for that. Maybe we have a family movie projected from that performance plaza up onto the side of the building in the evening. You know, it's just one of the wonderful things that we have been talking about on the Conservancy Board is the flexibility that having these spaces adjacent to one another will provide for us. So, you know, we're not quite into the specific programming phase yet, but Michael Kaiser, who is our interim executive director for the Theater Conservancy, you know, he ran the Kennedy Center for many years, and Michael has really helped us develop the vision for what particularly the historic theater will do and be. And yes, I think films and film festivals and other cooperative efforts are certainly in the cards.
Pete Cortez, Chief Operating Officer for La Familia Cortez, can you talk more about the Alameda Theater Conservancy and everything that's happening with that?
Sure. Well, you know, the Conservancy was really born out of this, you know, partnership. And, you know, in the early days that Joyce was talking about, we were trying to figure out how this was all going to work. And the reason we think this is going to be successful, not just because the city and the county have put the money forward to substantially complete the project, that's key, of course, but what we're going to do with it going forward. And one of the things we did early on was bring in Michael Kaiser, who is the former director of the Kennedy Center, and he's now the CEO of the DeVos Institute of Arts Management at the University of Maryland. And Michael has world-class credibility in the art world. And so bringing Michael in and helping us work on the programming has been key. Again, this theater was originally a movie palace, and we needed to be able to speak to different genres going forward. And so they're going to have to be, we're going to preserve all of the historic nature of the building, but there are going to have to be some things that we do to make this building viable going forward. And speaking to Alejandro's point, we think film festivals are one of those opportunities that are going to be fantastic for us at the Alameda going forward. You know, one of the things we hear a lot about in the theater was that it had wonderful acoustics. And so, you know, we want to be able to have music festivals, film festivals, bring in groups from, you know, other parts of the world into the Alameda Theater. And so it's going to be fantastic once we get this open. In fact, you know, we're thinking that probably late 2020 will be finished, and we'll probably be working about this time next year and starting to program for the opening of the theater.
An artist in residence, that was an interesting thing that Alejandro brought up. People, you've seen that we have this new canvas in San Antonio and maybe trying to work with local arts groups. You know, I know that there's all sorts of people looking for ways to present their creativity in San Antonio. How willing will the Alameda Theater Conservancy be willing to work with local and Laura Houston?
This was one of the things we talked about quite a bit. We did not want to produce our own shows. We wanted to curate performances from our other arts partners throughout the community. And so we want to make sure that there's a strong partnership with the Guadalupe, make sure there's a strong partnership with Art San Antonio. Anyone that wants to partner with the Alameda, we are entertaining all options because we want this space to be something that, I keep saying, inclusive, but also can be flexible for any type of multimedia or art. I mean, we've talked about the Alameda Theater is going to be a multimedia live performing arts and film center that will feature the American Latino multicultural story. There are so many different ways to do that, and that's what's been so exciting about being at this stage. We're talking about those different ways, whether it's performing arts, whether it's film, whether it's dance. And so we hope to have a very robust program schedule in the next 2 to 3 years that the community can embrace.
And having Texas Public Radio as a partner, and Texas Public Radio certainly is dedicated to covering arts and culture in San Antonio. We have a reporter dedicated to that. So I guess it makes it easy. You don't even have to walk out the front door to find out some really cool stuff that's happening and put it on the radio and let everyone know about it and get some excitement going.
Absolutely. One of the things that we'll want to be focused on is ensuring visibility to our community about everything that's happening there. The other thing I would mention about the arts is as we design the space for Texas Public Radio, one of the things we thought specifically about is visual arts and whether we might have, you know, sort of rotating displays from local artists in that in our lobby area because there'll be a lot of traffic in and out of there. So we really, as Lori says, you know, inclusive is sort of the watchword always. And we really want to be inviting the community into this entire space.
Let's go back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980 to call in with your ideas for the Alameda. And Barbara is on the line. Barbara, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks. I think the things I thought of when I got out of the pool and turned you guys on was that the Alameda is a perfect venue to start doing bicultural things. There's an enormous push right now between Mexico and Hollywood to produce movies. There's a guy named Eugenio Derbez who's done that very successfully. So I suggest that those are the kind of movies. Of course, I'd love a bar with novellas going on all the time. And then parking, because I don't know how Frost Bank fits into all this in terms of parking, but their people go home, and I hope parking will be available at not a high price so that people can come down there.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Barbara. Some great ideas there. Parking, that's always the thing that becomes the issue when we talk about downtown. But now we got scooters, so parking's not so bad. But Lori Houston, one of our assistant city managers for the city of San Antonio.
Actually, the caller was right on. We are working with the Frost Bank Tower. The city acquired that in 2015. It'll be our new administrative office tower. And when that staff leaves for the day, then we have opportunities in the evening for TPR guests and Alameda Theater guests to park. We'll also have an allocation of parking for TPR daytime guests as well. And so parking was key in getting TPR to even consider coming downtown. And so it's always on the forefront when you're working on economic development in San Antonio.
And Pete Cortez.
Well, and I think Barbara mentioned a bar and watching novellas. I thought that was great. In fact, you know, we've brought in some world-class architects to work on this project. Gary Martinez out of Washington, D.C. is our lead theater architect. And, you know, one of the things we're trying to look at is, and we're working with this theater and the number of seats, and particularly the balcony and, you know, the angles looking down onto the stage. And so one of the things we're proposing to do is actually make that space a little looser and having some areas where people can stand. There'll be a bar in that space where people can actually watch the events going on the stage, but from this upper level. So we really, again, we want to make sure that this theater speaks to this younger generation going forward and is a place that people will have a lot of fun in.
And well, right down the street is Market Square, where there are a lot of great restaurants and places to get your adult beverages as well. Pete Cortez, of course, La Familia Cortez. You guys are, you know, you're famous for the great food that y'all produce there. So there is a gastronomical connection here too, and this is all part of the culture.
You know, absolutely. I was told not to make do any commercials on there, so I wasn't going to mention anything about those restaurants in Market Square. But no, absolutely. And I think San Antonio in general is becoming a very culinary forward city, and it is very, very exciting with what's happening with downtown. And I think this area of Zona Cultural is going to continue to grow and emerge in that area. Of course, now with what's happening with UTSA, we have a new federal courthouse that's coming as well. And so I think the culinary scene is only going to get better and better.
Right. We'll talk more about the UTSA. There's an astonishing development for that part of downtown. And that could also reflect on add more energy to what's happening at the Alameda. The number to call in if you've got a question or a comment is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about the historic Alameda Theater and its future. And its future looks bright, too. Give us a call, 210-614-8980. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davis. We're talking about the Alameda Theater, and this is part of San Antonio's cultural heritage. It's been around for a long, long time, but for several decades, nothing's been happening there. But that's changing now. There's been a Alameda Theater Conservancy. They're going to be looking at programming the theater. Texas Public Radio is moving into the back house. All sorts of investments are being put into the building to revitalize it. The San Pedro Creek Park is happening, the San Pedro Creek development. A lot of energy. Will you be going down to the Alameda? Will you join us to celebrate the Alameda and San Antonio's Spanish language art heritage? Laurie Houston, Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio. There's also a visual art component as well, the former Museo Alameda. What is that now?
It is a Centro de Artes, and it's actually in Market Square. And when we were working on this project, we really talked about just that opportunity to have the visual arts and the performing arts and have a mini arts district in this area of downtown. And so Centro de Artes is curated by the Department of Arts and Culture within the City of San Antonio. We do about 3 to 4 shows annually. And I see such a wonderful opportunity to curate that space more with food, with the City of Gastronomy designation, and performing arts, and kind of do a traveling event, maybe going to a Cortez family restaurant and going to get your fix of the performing arts and then going to look at the visual arts. So we're looking at all these possibilities and how we connect them and really create something special in this near west side of downtown.
Let's go to the phone lines with Gary, 210-614-8980. Gary, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks, Dave. You know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, post projections for my uncle down in Pearsall, and I remember the 35-millimeter reel-to-reel projectors. Are y'all going to have anything nostalgic like that as far as equipment? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Thanks for calling in, Gary. Appreciate it. So what about the projections? Everything's now digital. They don't even produce films like that anymore. Joyce?
Yeah. You know, we run into this even with Cinema Tuesdays when we want to show some of the more classic things. It's difficult to find that equipment. It's difficult to maintain it. It's difficult to find somebody who knows how to operate it, to tell you the truth. But the good news is that there is a lot of work that's being done in all the film libraries, you know, around the country and around the world, really, to digitize their assets so that they can be shared, you know, licensed out again. And people can see things now that for years have just been stored away. So there will be a lot of nostalgia in the building, but it'll be mostly in what you see and you know, using good quality modern technology to provide that kind of experience that will, you know, as Pete says, attract people to come down and know they're going to have a great experience. They'll see this beautiful historic building. They'll see wonderful, you know, historic and culturally appropriate entertainment. But at the same time, they'll have those creature comforts that they've come to expect, like comfortable seats and a place to get a drink and, you know, a bite to eat while you're enjoying the entertainment.
We had a caller, Henry. He couldn't hang on, but he wanted to know where the money is coming from for this project. Laurie Houston, Assistant City Manager for the City of San Antonio.
the city of San Antonio and Bexar County have both contributed $10 million. So we have $20 million that we have sourced through the tax increment reinvestment zone that's been created in this area. So we have city and county each at $10 million, and then Texas Public Radio is contributing as well. And then we'll be doing a campaign probably in early 2019 to help us fundraise for some of the actual operating dollars for the project. And then the historic tax credits are a major component of this project. We are doing a complete restoration of the Alameda Theater, which makes us eligible for other funding sources such as historic tax credits and new market tax credits.
And Joyce Locum, there's been a capital campaign going on for Texas Public Radio to move down to and build a new home.
Yes, well, as Lori mentioned, Texas Public Radio is going to be investing. We'll be putting $5 million into the construction of the Texas Public Radio offices in the Stage House. We have been quietly conducting a fundraising campaign over the course of about the past year, and we've been tremendously gratified by the support that we've had from our community for that campaign.
When you have a radio station, the main concern is what comes out of the radio. And you could broadcast. I mean, I had a job working out of a former chicken coop one time at a radio station. This is something different. I think that having a presence at the Alameda is something that will have inform what comes out of the radio.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we say we were community founded, we are community funded, and we answer to our community. What we don't really have right now is a visible presence within our community. So we're concerned about what comes out of the radio, but we're also concerned about bringing people together live and in person to share their thoughts, to build community. I mean, that's what it's all about, is being together. And we're super excited about it. You know, we talked about the Zona Cultural and what else is going on down there. We had a block party down in front of the Alameda for TPR's 30th birthday earlier in the fall, and it was great. The number of people who came walking down and said, gosh, we were having dinner, you know, over in Mitiera, but we heard the music and we wondered what was going on, or people who live in Vistana who were saying, we just wondered what was happening down here. So that's the kind of thing we want to build, is a location where people say, you know what, there's always something interesting happening. Let's walk down there and see what's going on, and just really activate the space.
And Pete Cortez, with your family so invested in downtown with your restaurants, have y'all noticed things are changing, the attitude, the vibe?
Absolutely. It's been fantastic. And I've joked with Joyce over the course of the last couple of years that I actually presented her a new logo for Texas Public Radio, and I removed the X from Texas and replaced it with a J, so it was Texas Public Radio, so it would welcome them to the neighborhood. It has been very, very exciting to see, you know, all of the development. I mean, our family's been working on this for many, many years, you know, under the umbrella of Zona Cultural. And in talking to folks, and, you know, we've heard some big-time developers tell us it's going to take 20, 30 years of an evolution to see all of this happen. And, you know, and it's probably been about that long, but we've seen, I think, probably in the course of the last 5 years, it's speeding up and accelerating, and an energy kind of coming in behind this now. We spoke a little bit about UTSA. I mean, just a little over a year ago, we didn't have this new president, Taylor Amy, in San Antonio. There was really not a vision for expanding the downtown campus. And here we are less than, you know, 15 months later, and we have this wonderful vision of how UTSA is going to help spur the development on the west end of downtown, and frankly, be part of the Alameda too. I mean, we are looking for opportunities to collaborate with them as well, and make this facility available to them.
So downtown UTSA, Eric, they're going to be doing an aggressive expansion through downtown, kind of coming up and around where the Alameda is. Laura Houston, can you talk about that some?
Yes, and so actually about a month ago, the city of San Antonio and UTSA announced a partnership where the city was selling two parcels of property, and Bexar County is selling another parcel that's on the corner of Dolorosa and Santa Rosa, and that'll be the headquarters, or the location of the new College of Business for UTSA, the new School of Data Science that Graham Weston is funding. He's contributing $5 million to that project, and then a National Security Collaboration Center. So that is phase one for their project. And over the next 5 years, we'll see that project start construction. But Dr. Amy, plans on growing that campus by 11,000 students and 1,500 faculty within the next 10 years. So that is a huge growth, but anytime you have backpacks in your downtown, that's a wonderful sign that you have a very healthy downtown. With that's going to come more housing and different types of retail that we like to see. Who live downtown, we like to see the different types of retail that we can purchase our everyday goods that we need, and that's going to help us turn that retail from the tourism type retail that dominates downtown to that resident serving downtown. So it's a welcome economic development project.
So Joyce Slocum, this, the downtown that we have right now that Texas Public Radio is planning to move into, it's becoming a different kind of downtown. How will Texas Public Radio plug into that?
Well, one of the things I said, again, is that we want to help build community, to bring people together, to have, you know, constant sources of education and entertainment, and it'll just be a really terrific spot for us.
Right, and Tony Canaz with the Bexar County, how do you see the San Pedro Creek being a vital part of that?
Well, it's the center line of all this activities, the creek. I think the creek development is stimulating all this other interest in being on the creek. We look forward to the evolution of UTSA and TPR's. We're working very hard with TPR to make sure that everything that we're doing there is compatible with what they're doing. It's going to be a wonderful entry area and a front door for them, and we'll continue to look for any collaboration with developers and to make certain that the creek is an amenity and not what it was before, which was just kind of an infrastructure to remove rainwater. So.
Okay, and Laura Houston, you wanted to add to that?
I just wanted to correct something. Graham Weston actually donated $15 million to the College of Data Science to make it happen. It's one of the largest gifts that UTSA has had in years. So I want to thank another partner we have in downtown, which is Graham Weston.
And really quickly, one last wrap up with Vincent Michael. I haven't heard you from you in a little while. But with the San Antonio Conservation Society. Really quickly, doing all of this, but keeping in mind preserving what we have, these jewels that cannot be replaced.
Well, and I think having more people, you know, what UTSA expansion downtown, that'll help the historic buildings. It creates a market for them. I wanted to mention the Alameda was, it was built by Tano Lucchese, son of the boot manufacturer, and designed by Strauss Niefach, and who actually died before it opened, sadly. So this is really exciting to see how we're preserving something which is bringing life to downtown.
With so many different groups coming together for this one vision, and we're seeing all the productivity, having all these moving parts working together, having a leadership and cooperation. That's how we get things done in San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning us in.